It did affect me because when they closed the high school in Belhaven, in Pantiga, they made Johnny Wilkerson a junior high school.
Right.
I taught sixth grade.
Okay.
So I left the elementary school and went to the junior high school.
Okay.
And I taught there for 2 years. By that time, that's when this school opened.
Right.
Okay. That summer, the second year that I was there, I went to Meredith College for a 3-week science workshop. And Ethel Matthews, who was the supervisor for our county, tried to get up with me all summer. I was at Meredith College. When I got back to Pantiga, my husband said, I wouldn't even tell you while you were away because I didn't want you aggravated about who's trying to call you from the central office. I didn't want you upset about anything, so I wouldn't even tell you. But Ethel Matthews been trying to get up with you. So right away I called her and she said, I need you to come in. I want you to go over to the high school. But she lied to me. She said to me, all you have to teach is math, ninth grade math. I says, oh, that's not a bad deal. I says, in high school it was a lot easier. You felt so compelled to do that every child would learn. You gotta see those little ones. They don't know any better. You gotta make them do it. High school, well, they're bigger. They can share some of the responsibility. So I came over
to
So I came over to Northside. First of all, didn't have a classroom. Had to roam.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yes, I
do. From room to room. Second of all, had to teach science and math and English. Taught all three of those in that first. And I said to Dr. Phillips, if you don't have a room for me next semester, next year, fine. I can wash windows. I don't have to teach. So they evacuated Coach Proctor from his room. He gave me, because then I felt bad. I felt so bad. I says, I can wash windows. I can do whatever it is I need to do to earn a living. Don't have to teach, but I'm not running up and down the hall and going to everybody's classroom feeling that I didn't leave something right. Even though some of them were great, they wanted you to use whatever you saw that you needed and you didn't have to put it back, like Sandra McCann. Felt very comfortable in her room. Didn't worry about it. But some of the teachers, I worried if I moved the eraser, did I put it back?
Probably name those people.
I don't want to name those. But anyway, that's where I got to the point that I don't know whether I really am going to teach forever or not. But I did. It worked out through all of the principals that have been at Northside. Retired. Made a mistake because I didn't have my ducks in a row, meaning I thought you could really enjoy just sitting home and getting up when you want to. It'll drive you to drink if you don't have something else to do after you've worked all of your life. You know, all of your adult life. You'll start drinking. So I'm thankful that I didn't drink because I might have been driven to it. Yeah, but prayerfully, the next time I retire, I'll be prepared to retire mentally prepared to retire.
We were studying about the Greensboro sit-ins and
I was a part of that.
Well, then I certainly want to hear about that.
Oh, when I returned to college, it was 1960, and Jesse Jackson was president of the student government. And met Martin Luther King because he would visit the black universities.
Mm-hmm.
And in political science, he was the spokesperson to that class or something, and we were all involved in it. But downtown Greensboro, there was a place called S&W. Mm-hmm. We also had the Greensboro Woman's College there that was white.
Right.
And on Sundays, they had the best food at that S&W. So the kids from the Greensboro Woman's College would go in and purchase the food for us and bring it out to us. And we would take it back to campus because we weren't allowed to go in. So during this time was that sit-in, started the sit-in in Greensboro. Rose's department store. At that time it was called Rose's Five and Dime Store. Mm-hmm. Big Pardon, Five and Dime Store. You could go in to Rose's and buy whatever you wanted because we used to go downtown to buy our toiletries and right. things, and we'd go to Rose's. Right. But you could buy food from the counter, but you couldn't sit down. So Jesse Jackson and all of those political science students, I was not in political science, but all of the kids came together because we had Vesper. Every Wednesday and every Sunday you went to church. It was mandatory that you went. So we would gather together and they would talk about it. And Martin Luther King came down and Jesse Jackson says, well, we're going to be a part of this. And the kids from the Woman's College mm-hmm. says, it's not fair that you guys can't come in and sit and eat. And so we boycotted S&W. The kids from all of the colleges and the tech schools around boycotted. And when that last Sunday, I'll never forget it, it was so many people that had been arrested in Greensboro from the boycott that all the jails were filled. So there was an old polio hospital, and this is exam time now, old polio hospital. It was so many students from all of the colleges, black, white, everybody. So many of the community people involved. It was like 10,000 people that were locked up. I was among the crew, and guess what? My parents saw me on TV. By that time, we had a TV, got a TV in 1949. We had television. They saw me being marched on the bus. They had a hissy. But we were locked up. We were taken to the old polio hospital. Now, Rose's and the movies, the movie theater, after about a week of boycotting, this is okay. We'll let you in. You can sit down. But S&W closed its doors before they would allow us to come in.
Now, the sit-in that they gets all the attention is the one at Woolworths.
At Woolworths, the Five and Dimes.
Was that
yes,
when you were there, too?
That's when I was there. That's when I was there. Yes, ma'am.
I was telling the kids in my class, because, you know, they're all 20 and I'm not. And I was telling them that in Washington, I'm almost sure that they just shut the counter down.
Yeah, they did. They did
just took it out,
and no longer would serve.
I think they did in a lot of places. They took care of that situation.
That's right. They took it out. No more serving food.
Yeah.
But S&W closed its doors because that's all they did was cook food, serve food.
Oh yeah.
You know, that was a food restaurant and it was cheap. You know, for a dollar, those kids would bring us out big bags of food. I mean, good home cooked food.
Right.
And so they closed their doors. And like you say, Woolworths, or Roses as we called it, Woolworth it was.
Well, they had both.
They had both, but this was Roses and Woolworth. I was non-Woolworth. I was in the Roses thing, but they both stopped serving food.
Right.
They didn't have a snack bar anymore.
Yeah. The one in Washington didn't. Yeah. I remember that.
All of them did that, I believe.
I think I was vaguely...
Mr. Cleon, please come to the office.
But just
Mr. Cleon, to the office, please.
And I was a part of that. And now that I look back, I just say, I knew Martin Luther King. I met Martin Luther King. This was during the time that before they had the Washington, D.C. sit-ins and all of that. But when that Washington, D.C. stuff started and all, I said, oh, it's no big deal. I've marched with Martin Luther King before. Jesse Jackson, oh, he was in school. I was in school with Jesse Jackson. Even though I'm older than he, I would say, because when I went back to school, I was older than those who were there.
He's not far behind you.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's like, because if I'm not mistaken, he's 62 or 63 now. Because he was like president of the student government.
Right.
And I had been there 2-3 years, getting ready to finish up that part of the third year that I was there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was a part of that.
Oh, that's exciting. Let's talk a little bit about the schools. Were you were already teaching when they integrated schools here?
Or that I was grown when they integrated schools in Beaufort County in North Carolina, when the integration actually took place physically.
right.
After the law, it was 4 years or 60, so after.
Well, I think it was about 67, 68, actually.
Before they totally integrated. I was out of schools, had not returned to North Carolina.
Okay.
My mother was teaching, and my younger brother was still in high school.
Okay.
So during that time, my mother, I lived in Pantiga, even though I lived in New York. It wasn't a holiday that came that I was not home. There was not a long weekend. There was not any little thing would make me come home. Anything. I owned stock in Trailway Bus. Me and my babies, we owned stock in Trailway Bus. But my mother taught at the Beaufort County High School. And that year they chose, the year that they were going to integrate, they chose two teachers. The year before they integrated, two teachers to go to the white school and two white teachers to go to the black school. And they chose my mother, and they chose, who was Annie Farah, and they chose Emma Lovett, who was a young black teacher. In the beginning, of course, the people said, well, they chose Miss Farah. Miss Farah was, who was my mother, was very different. She was very, very fair-skinned. And they said, well, they chose her. I understand she's an excellent teacher, but she's real fair-skinned, too. But when they chose Emma, then they made that not so, that they chose her because Emma was very dark-skinned, but gorgeous to look at, very young, beautiful teacher. And she taught home economics. And the two white teachers, I understand that they sent over to the elementary school, were those people who had lived in Pantiga all of their lives, who knew the people in Pantiga, mm-hmm. both black and white. And so I think it made for a very smooth transition after the fact, you know, when Alton Boomer, who was a little black boy in our community, was the first black student that was sent over to the high school. And the KKK went up and shot in his dad's house. His dad was a minister. But the beautiful thing my dad related to us was that all of the men of Pantiga went up that lane to the, they call it the canal bank, mm-hmm. to where Reverend Boomer lived, both black and white men, to show that we're united with this and you cannot, we won't sit by and you won't do this in Pantiga. So that was not only did they find out who it was, but they were punished because of what they did at the time that it was done. And nobody was hurt in that process.
But, except the little boy, probably.
The little boy, he was Alton, and Alton Boomer today just retired from Weyerhaeuser. And once in a while he reminisces about it. But he's all right, he's better because of it. It was a time. So, but you know, we were blessed in Pantiga, and I tell people all the time, and they look at me like, you didn't come from Pantiga, but yes, I did. You know, we were blessed, and I didn't realize how blessed I was. I wasn't raised with prejudices, and people tell me it's because your parents were educators and you didn't have to work. But I did work. I enjoyed working in the fields. I mean, I truly went out to work because I wanted to do it. only one of my siblings of the girls that did it. A couple of the boys did it because we liked having our own monies.
Right.
But we just didn't feel the prejudices because we were sheltered from them. And then in the community, lawyer Toppin, his daughter Jane, it was like we were just friends anyway. We would walk to the post office together. When she got her license, she was a year or so older than us, she would pick us up and we'd drive to the post office together. My dad and one of the neighbors would exchange vegetables. My dad grew like the colored butter beans and collards. The neighbor grew like lettuce, radishes, sweet corn. So they exchanged. Wow.